4CIB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, with a large team of highly experienced professionals. You can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice here on 4CRB. All we need you to do is get on the telephone, and our number is 55208888. That's 55208888. Don't forget, we do have a email address, talkback@4crb.com. If you want to send a question through by email, which we can deal with next week, but we do prefer to get those calls on air if we possibly can. So call us on 55208888. Don't forget, if you're south of the Tweed River, of course, you need to put 07 in front of the number. And speaking of south of the river, good to see some relaxation on the border bubble, and great to see Barry Coleman back, being able to present the breakfast program live at 4CRB. Thank you to all the people who called in last week and made for such an interesting program. I think we ended up having about 8 calls, including one that I had to take off air, which was from David, who had some tax issues after the sale of his business and business premises. And some issues with the Australian Taxation Office. I'm very pleased that I was able to refer him to an accountant to provide assistance. And from what I've heard thus far, I think they should be able to get those issues sorted out. So, David, I hope that's helping for you, that's for sure. But in the meantime, the program's all about your calls. So 55208888 is the number. That's 55208888. You could be our very first caller if you call now. A few things that just crossed my mind during the week. One was the introduction of the amendments to the powers of attorney legislation in Queensland, which became effective on the 30th of November 2020. Now, the good thing about those changes was that if you had a valid power of attorney in place already, then there was no need to change your power of attorney, because although there's a new form of power of attorney that has taken effect, the existence of a valid power of attorney that predates the change in the format did not require that you do that. But with the first anniversary of that change fast approaching, it did remind me that there was one very important change contained in that legislation, and that was that if you had an existing advance health directive prior to 30 November 2020, which included a provision which appointed a service provider in a residential service where you're a resident. So, in other words, appointed a service provider and you're in a nursing home or a retirement village where you're a resident, then the appointment of an attorney under that advance health directive is invalid, and you would need to redo your advance health directive if you haven't already done so. So it would only affect a very limited number of people, and that would only be, as I say, where you've actually appointed a care provider within that facility, or someone who's providing that service to you. But just something to bear in mind, and make sure that if that was the case for you, that that you do have that covered off. Also, one other thing that came through, which was interesting to see, is the renewed focus of the Australian Taxation Office through their Tax Avoidance Task Force in tracking down and bringing to ground people who are engaging in tax avoidance in one form or other. And the Tax Avoidance Task Force has apparently raised $4.5 billion in tax liabilities over the 2020-21 financial year, and collected $2.5 billion of that money. So this task force was set up back in 2016, and since then they've been doing a lot of work in in tracking down people who are not paying their fair share of tax. Just last year, the ATO contacted 468 of the top 500 taxpayers and associated entities, and this raised just alone a liability of $308 million in tax. And the Next 5000 program, which targeted 910 taxpayers, raised a further $223 million. So the ATO is really looking at this hard, and I mean for obvious reasons, because we've got a huge deficit that the government is facing, and so unsurprisingly you can expect that the ATO are going to be looking hard at these entities, and it particularly does include trusts. They're having a hard look at trusts, and particularly trusts where there are foreign beneficiaries. So these are discretionary trusts, and particularly where there are foreign beneficiaries. So if you fall into that category at all, or you know someone who's in that category, who might be in that category, then it would be advisable to alert them to the fact that the ATO is certainly looking into these things. But the program is all about your calls, and that's what we need right now. We have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, give us a call right now. That number is 55208888. That's 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Bell Legal Group is the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. Their highly experienced team of professionals can provide assistance in wills and estate planning, property law and conveyancing, family law, business and commercial law, and much, much more. Contact our sponsor, Bell Legal Group, on 55973366. That number again, 55973366. Or learn more about what they can offer you at belllegal.com.au.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. Our telephone number, 55208888. That's 55208888. We've got no callers at all, so an unbelievably quiet morning this morning. So if you do have a question or a query that you'd like to raise, you would be able to get straight through on that number, 55208888. One of the other things that I was looking at or read during the week related to leased premises, and particularly commercial premises. And with the summer now coming on, air conditioning, of course, is becoming more of an issue. And one of the things that people need to be aware of is that although in residential premises that might be fitted with air conditioning, it's automatically assumed that the landlord is the one who's responsible for the maintenance of that. That's not necessarily the case in leased premises. And so if you're going to enter into a lease of commercial premises, or you're already in a lease and you're wondering who's responsible, it's advisable to take a look at the terms of the lease, because there could be substantial capital repair or replacement costs involved in the air conditioning. And whilst many tenants may automatically assume that that's the liability of the landlord, that may not be the case depending on the terms of the lease. So just something that you need to look at. But enough of that. We have our very first caller this morning, as we say hi to Anne. Hi, Anne. How are you today? Hello, Anne. Are you there? Hello, Anne. Hello. Well, we seem to have a little bit of a problem with Anne, so we'll try and sort that out. But in the meantime, we'll go to Don. Good morning, Don. How are you today? Hello, Don. Well, we seem to have a problem with our phone systems at the moment. We've got Anne and Don on the line, but unfortunately we're not able to pick them up. So we'll see if the powers that be can sort that problem out, and we'll get back to Anne and Don as soon as we possibly can. In the meantime, yes, I was just finishing on that question about informal wills. About the leasing of premises. Informal wills is the next point I wish to come to. But so if you have, if you're in a business, or alternatively, if you have children who are in a business, obviously air conditioning is a huge thing that is important to them in their premises, make sure that you raise that issue. We seem to have Anne back on the line again, so we'll try again and see if we can hopefully pick her up this time. Good morning, Anne. How are you today? Hello, Anne. Are you there? No, we seem to have, what do they say, Houston? We have a problem. So we'll just continue on. We might just cross to a song for a moment, and we'll see if we can get this problem sorted out. We'll be back in a moment.
Well, I've been waiting ever since I guess my baby's got another date. Stood up, brokenhearted again. I'll bet she's out having a ball, not even thinking of me at all. Stood up, brokenhearted again. Well, I know just what I ought to do. I ought to find me somebody new, but baby, I couldn't forget about you. Stood up, brokenhearted again. Must I always be the one left behind, never having any fun? Stood up, brokenhearted again. But I guess I'll go on being a fool, sitting around just waiting for you. Stood up, brokenhearted again. Well, I know just what I ought to do. I ought to find me somebody new, but baby, I couldn't forget about you. Stood up, brokenhearted again. Stood up, brokenhearted again. Stood up, brokenhearted again.
And we appear to have our technical problems solved. I'm not exactly sure who our caller will be, so we'll cross to the next caller and we'll keep our fingers crossed. Might be Anne. No, we're going to John. Okay, so good morning, John. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you, John?
Okay, after getting all these technical problems sorted out. But good to talk to you. How can we help you today?
I've got a general power of attorney and... in separate appointment for enduring guardian, made up in New South
Wales. In New South Wales. You're breaking up a little bit, John. You're on a mobile, I think, are you?
Yeah.
Yep. So I gather you've got a general power of attorney and an enduring guardian in New South Wales. Is that right?
Yes, and I've been told that they're not applicable in Queensland.
No, that's not correct. If you... so you live in New South Wales or you've moved to Queensland?
Queensland.
You've now moved to Queensland?
Yep.
Okay, now, well, those documents do remain valid in Queensland as long as they're up to date and they don't need to have any changes made to them. In Queensland, we actually have one document that deals with both of those issues. So you have an enduring power of attorney, which... not only deals with financial matters, but it also deals with personal and health matters. But that document would remain effective in Queensland, long as it was validly executed in New South Wales.
They're valid in New South Wales, and I've got two because I have different purposes.
Yeah, well, you can do the same in Queensland under a long-form enduring power of attorney. That document will allow you to appoint one person for financial matters and other persons for personal and health. So it's pretty much the same. The difference is that New South Wales uses two documents. Queensland only uses one. All right, then.
Thank you very much.
Okay, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB coming up to 19 minutes past 9, as we say good morning to Merle. G'day, Merle. How are you today? Hello, Merle, are you there?
I am, dear. Good morning.
Yes.
I was a power attorney for my mum. Mm-hmm. And anyway, she appointed me as trustee for a nephew, and it's a testamentary trust.
Testamentary trust, yes.
Yes, and so I've set up, because he's to get a certain amount of money each month for 10 years, mm-hmm. and anyway, I've gone to the bank about it 12 months ago, and that was okay, and then because I was putting some amount in a fixed term deposit, and then they were going to charge, well, they did $101 for a withholding tax, and someone said that I need a tax file number.
Yes,
well,
you do.
I have one of my own, so do I have to have one just for this
yes.
bank account?
Yes, you do. You need to have a tax file number, mm-hmm. and it will be necessary for the testamentary trust to lodge a tax return each year.
Okay. Okay, well, it only gets $250 a month for 12 months out of the amount of money. It was $30,000. So how do I get on to the... I don't have a computer. Get on to the taxation department to get another tax file number.
What I would suggest you do initially is just give them a call and just explain the situation to them and just ask them what's the easiest way to get a tax file number when you don't have a computer. I mean, normally what we do within the office is we simply appoint an accountant to do the tax for the testamentary trust, and the accountant applies for the tax file number. So but in your situation, I think the starting point, Mel, would be to speak to the speak to the ATO.
Good idea. Yes, I do have an accountant, so I...
Well, your accountant would be able to help you with that. That would probably be a lot simpler for you.
Okay, dear. Well, thank you very much for that.
Okay, no problem at all. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB, it's 23 minutes past 9. As we say, good morning, I think, to our first caller this morning, Anne. Good morning, Anne. How are you? Hello, Anne. Is that you?
Yes, it is me.
Yes, Anne, I'll give you an A for persistence. Sorry about those problems we had earlier with the phone system, but we've got you there now. How can I help you today?
Okay. I live in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
I want to transfer a unit, a property, mm-hmm. to our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to take two different independent lawyers, or can one lawyer do the job for both of us?
Well... what you could probably do is you could so this is really just an in-family transaction, isn't it? You're going to be transferring a unit from your name to the name of your daughter, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, what I would suggest you do is you could simply have the one lawyer act for your daughter, because the bulk of the work in relation to the transfer of that property is going to be effected by your daughter's lawyer, not by you. So she could just appoint a lawyer to prepare all of the documentation, and you could elect to just act for yourself, in other words, not have a lawyer. That lawyer would do all the work. You'd just sign the documents, and that would be a simple solution for you.
Oh, is that right? So I don't need, because I contacted a law firm and they told me that we both had to have independent lawyers.
You can elect not to have legal representation. So if your daughter were to go to a lawyer and ask that lawyer to act for her in relation to the transfer of the property, and you, the lawyer acting for your daughter very well may ask you to sign something to confirm you're acting for yourself. If you, no one can force you to have legal representation. You can elect to act for yourself in relation to these things. So certainly there's not a problem there at all. You'd be able to do that.
And roughly how much will this cost?
Well, it'll depend on the value of the property, because you're going to have to either get an appraisal by a real estate agent, which will contain reference to, I think they have to refer to at least three comparable properties to arrive at their value.
Right.
And normally an agent will give you a range of values. So they'll say, we think the market value of this property is between $300,000 and $320,000, for example. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, you will have to pay stamp duty on the top figure. So in other words, you'll have to pay it on the 320, not the 300. The other alternative is to get a valuation. And if you were to get a valuation and the valuer said, I think the current market value of this property is $300,000, then you can just rely on that. But of course, you do have the cost of getting the valuation, and that would mean...
What is the cost of the lawyer's fee?
Well, look, I can't really tell you what it would be because, I mean, you're talking about just getting a transfer prepared. Really, there doesn't even need to be a contract in this situation. So it would simply be a transfer, which would presumably recite the consideration for the transfer as love and affection. So I think that you would probably be looking at something between... excluding the outlays, which are the stamp duty and the titles office registration fees, probably something between $500 and $1,000.
Well, all right. Okay, thank you so much for that.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, Anne, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 27 minutes past nine. This is The Law on You, 5520888 is the number. Don, if you're still out there and you'd like to call back, you could get straight through and we'd be able to deal with your question if it's a quick question. While we're waiting to see whether Don's able to get back to us or indeed any other caller, as I mentioned a moment ago, the last issue that I wanted to raise today that I thought was quite interesting was a recent article about an application of the court for an informal will. And you may remember that I've spoken in the past about informal wills that have been done on such things as text messages on mobile phones or indeed video recordings. This was quite an interesting case because it was a matter where the deceased lawyer had actually prepared a will in 2019, but it remained unexecuted until the person passed away in July 2020. Now, an attempt was made to have probate granted or letters of administration granted in relation to that informal will. And in some cases in the past, probate has been, or letters of administration have been granted in relation to an informal will of that nature. However, in this particular case, the court found that the deceased had conflicting loyalties between his current wife and his own daughters, who were clearly daughters of a previous marriage, and the court considered that this showed an obvious explanation for why the deceased hadn't actually got around to signing his will, and therefore there was a lack of conviction on the part of the deceased to make this document his last will. And as a result of that, the court refused the application, and so the application for an informal will was dismissed, which meant that presumably there they either had to go back to a previous will, or alternatively, if the deceased had no will, then sadly he would have died what's called intestate, which means he had no will, and the rules of intestacy would apply in relation to the distribution of his estate. One of the other possible scenarios in that case would be that if it went back to an earlier will, which, for example, left the whole estate to his daughters, but he had since married his new wife, well, of course, marriage automatically revokes an earlier will, so that earlier will that he may have made in favour of his daughters would no longer be of any effect because of the marriage automatically revoking the will, and so therefore it very well may be that there was in fact a case of intestacy, which means that there's a real possibility that the estate is going to have to be distributed according to the rules of intestacy, which certainly may not make everyone in the scenario happy, although the deceased is probably not going to have to worry too much about it because he's no longer around. But it just does underscore to me once again the absolute importance of not only getting a will done, but getting a will done properly and completing it expeditiously so that you do have your affairs in place. Because the tragedy of this situation is that that application to the court would have cost thousands of dollars in legal fees, all of which comes out of the estate. And so for the cost of getting a simple will done, a standard will, which is quite inexpensive. Those thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees, not to mention the heartache and anguish caused to the members of the family, can just be avoided by that. But that's enough for today. Hopefully we'll have those technical problems sorted out for next week. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for The Law and You. I look forward to being back with you, of course, next week for another program. But until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 55 97 33 66.